The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday, July the 8th. We're going to go through some listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. The email address is talkback@issuesetc.org and the Issues Etc. listener comment line 618-223-8382.
Jason writes, I have to agree with Otto. Too much mindless banter about Hall and Oates and St. Louis Cardinals baseball during listener feedback. I can't believe more people don't submit substantive questions. Perhaps Jeff should get his own hour of Lutheran sports talk. Thanks for the email, Jason.
You used to have, I think you actually used to have a, what was it called? The show that you did.
Sports with Schwartz.
Yeah. Was that like a local?
It wasn't nationally syndicated,
no, it was a local,
I assure you.
It's like a local East Side thing that you did?
Yes, yes.
What station was it on?
It's WRYT in, it's 1080 AM here in Greater St. Louis. The Catholics bought the stations.
Now, oh, that's right. Yeah. It's Catholic radio.
Yes, exactly.
I knew the call sign, but I was like, didn't think that was a sports station.
Well, it wasn't sports. It was like a talk station at the time. It was a talk station at the time. So,
but how did you do that? I know you hate being on the microphone. How did you do that?
That's a really good question. I was a lot younger then.
You got any recordings of it?
Oh, yeah. My mom's got them all.
I would love to hear
recordings of all of them.
We got to get a hold of those. We've worked together for like 20 plus years and I've never heard any of those recordings.
Oh, yeah.
What I want to see is, I want to see your tape from your very short-lived job in, where was it? Los Alamos? Albuquerque? Where was it?
Are you talking about
your TV job?
I was my first job out of school. I was offered a job in Roswell, New Mexico.
Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah, but right. I turned it down.
I thought you went down there.
I went there. I had all my. I was packed. I was going to go, and then I abruptly came home.
Then you realized you weren't cut out for TV. But
I was going to be a sports anchor. Yeah.
What? Can you imagine how different? I mean, I wouldn't be working here, but how different life would be if Jeff had stuck it out in sports and we could be watching him on.
I wasn't that good, I can assure you. I wouldn't have made it past Roswell, New Mexico Market 293 or whatever it was. I really wasn't.
Is there any tape?
Oh yeah,
I gotta see those tapes.
But yeah, I don't. Back then, the tapes, you know, they weren't like VCR tapes. They were big, thick.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what kind of machines. You'd have to buy some really old machine to even play those things. So
let's see if anybody's putting that up on YouTube.
Well, Jason, I can assure you we discuss St. Louis Cardinals baseball during the commercial break there, so it won't be brought up today.
Yeah. It seems like kind of the worse they do, the more we have to say about it. So, and this year we've got a lot to say.
I'm not going there.
All right.
I want to, but I'm not going to. This email comes from Matthew. He writes, Issues Etc. had two programs dedicated to a couple of documents recently released by the Roman Catholic Church. One was about a letter from Pope Benedict concerning the sexual abuse scandal in the Roman Church. The other was the document Male and Female, He Created Them, released by the Congregation for Catholic Education. Both documents have been hailed by conservative Protestants and Reformed, as well as Roman Catholics, for their strong stand on issues of sexuality. I find this disturbing, not for the most part because of what the documents themselves say, but because of what they don't say. Neither document really takes seriously the depth and endurance of the effects of the fall. They treat their respective issues as if they were somehow fixable, if only we could find the right key to make it all work out. This is where answers to the problem from those on both sides of the issues fail. Both sides espouse a theology of glory where issues of sexuality and experience of gender can be fixed. On the right, education, proper counseling, and biblical admonition are what people need. On the left, what we need to do is to encourage a person to accept themselves and alter their lives, and if necessary, their bodies, to fit their self-perception. Matthew concludes, what churches need to start asking themselves instead of how do we fix these problems is, what do we do when there is no solution, no fix? The power and glory of Christ is not how he grants healing and wholeness in this life, but how the gospel gives people the willingness to carry a cross in a world in which there may be no answers and no solution. Thanks for listening and thanks for the email, Matthew.
Well, I understand what you're trying to say there, Matthew, and I'm not going to address the Roman Catholic documents. If anybody wants to listen to our treatment of those two, they can go into the archives, and I think if they just search Roman Catholic, the tag Roman Catholic, they'll probably find both of those. They're fairly recent, within the last month or so. But I do want to deal with this notion that we're converted and then we're just kind of left defeated in our sin, because I got to ask the question, if there are no answers or solutions to the sin of, say, believing you're a woman when you're in fact a man, and if there are no answers and solutions to the sin of being attracted sexually to the same sex, you know, we're often told those sins are not really any different than any other sins. Are there any answers or solutions to any sin? Why couldn't any sin, could we say of it, well, there's no answer here, there's no solution. I just live with this sin. It's almost kind of a Christian defeatism. And it's not the way that neither Scripture or the Lutheran confessions talk about the Christian life. They actually talk about the Christian life. Yes, we remain sinners until the day we die and until we lay aside this flesh. We remain sinners without a doubt. But we are also temples of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is, after all, I don't know why I keep having to remind people, that the Holy Spirit's God. And God does miracles. He can change things. So with all due respect, I think you're underestimating God's word and the Holy Spirit, as though the Holy Spirit could perform the miracle of changing an unbeliever into a believer, the miracle of converting someone from enemy of God to believer in God. But he couldn't bring about any change after that in the heart of the life of that believer, or that he would leave him defeated in his sin. Now, am I saying that human solutions substitute for the forgiveness of sins? Absolutely not. But Christians are called and impelled by the Holy Spirit to struggle against their sin. And that Holy Spirit actually brings about change in the life, the hearts, the minds of believers. The change is so profound that Scripture calls it not just change, but new creation. It's like the whole universe has been made anew. So the same Apostle Paul, who is very clear that our works do not avail before God one little bit, will say something like, so now, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision count, but a new creation. He's saying it's so much bigger than circumcision or uncircumcision. What the Holy Spirit's able to accomplish in the life of the believer, albeit from the believer's side in great weakness, is in fact a new creation. And I said before, it isn't the way the Scripture or the confessions talk about the Christian. Just consider these passages. This is Paul, St. Paul, who wrote Galatians. We always give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. You notice how he's speaking about people who do not have the ability innately to love one another or to love God, actually increasing in that love as faith grows. And the same Apostle Paul says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. So he does see a change taking place. I'm not talking about a solution where somehow someone who has gender dysphoria wakes up one day and they no longer have gender dysphoria. I'm talking about this change that the Holy Spirit works in us through his word that does change and increase throughout our lives. Just consider this description of the Christian life. And this is actually from the Lutheran Confessions. I would encourage you to go and read Apology 3, Apology of the Augsburg Confession, the third article from beginning to end. It's really long, but it is the Lutheran view of the Christian life. Here's just a little bit of it. Because indeed faith brings the Holy Ghost and produces in hearts a new life, it is necessary that it should produce spiritual movements in hearts. And what these movements are, the prophet Jeremiah shows when he says, I will put my law on their inward parts, I will write it on their hearts. Therefore, when we have been justified by faith and regenerated, we begin to fear and love God, to pray to him, to expect from him aid, give thanks and praise him, and obey him in afflictions. We also begin to love our neighbors because our hearts have spiritual and holy movements there now. Through the Spirit of Christ, a new heart, mind, and spirit within. That's pretty expansive language about the change that the Holy Spirit brings about in the Christian. Does it mean you stop being a sinner? Absolutely not. But he does change us. And here's just one more, and then we'll take a break. This is, again, from the Apology. For Christ has overcome the devil and has given to us the promise of the Holy Spirit in order that, by divine aid, we ourselves also may overcome. See, he doesn't leave the Christian defeated in his sin. He gives the Holy Spirit so the Christian also struggles against sin with divine aid. And then it says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's 1 John chapter 3. Again, we teach not only how the law can be observed, but how God is pleased if anything be done, namely, not because we render satisfaction to the law, but because we are in Christ. What does Paul say? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Look, Christian life is not about this little change. Change here, change there, working on things, trying to find a workaround to your sin. No, it's much bigger than that. You are an entirely new creation, or as the confessions say, they are new heart, new mind, new spirit within. Let's not look for the easy way out when it comes to our neighbor's struggle against these sins. It really actually, ironically, is kind of a theology of glory that it's not a theology of glory that would say, oh, we can somehow work our way out of our sin. That is a theology of glory. It's a theology of glory that says, you know, I don't want the cross of my neighbor on me or of his sin on me. So I'm just going to say, well, there's no solution. There's no answer. Yes, there is. The Holy Spirit brings about the solution that is the forgiveness of sins, and that forgiveness actually changes us. So much so, again, that Scripture calls that change a new creation. We'll be right back.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service
at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The comment line for your substantive questions, 618-223-8382. Also, the email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Here are some thoughts from our comment line from Issues Etc.'s own Paul Harvey.
This is Harry of Arlington Heights with an appraisal of brain and mind. To the scene, from the unseen. We each have a brain and mind, both created by God. The first, the brain, is corporeal, corruptible, and temporal, which will one day return to dust with the same destiny as other dust. The second, the mind, is immaterial, immortal, and eternal, which for the Christian will be one with the replacement glorified body, even as the mind is now one with the mortal body, though not to be disposed of with the mortal body. When in heaven we give account of ourselves to God, Romans 12:14, we will draw on memories then still with us in mind, even as they are with us in mind today. If your understanding of the brain-mind interaction is vague, be at peace, for such understanding is also vague among those with the best informed scientifically. Though your brain, with its millions of neurons, dendrites, and axons, is the most amazing communication system in the physical universe, it is but a disposable temporal accessory to your eternal mind. Your brain, having a comparatively incidental memory, processing, and storage system analogous to your mind. Your two memory systems are designed for interaction for the full duration of your terrestrial habitation. Think of the last time you suddenly saw a familiar face and struggled to recall its name, followed by a span of time during which your attention may have been diverted elsewhere, but arrived by a sudden revelation you described as came to mind. That was almost correct, for what actually happened was that the revelation came from mind. It came to the scene from the unseen. Now you know what you witnessed. With that recall was the interaction of your brain receiving data from the storage bins of your mind in yet another way God's eternal resources supplement and strengthen our mortal limitations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Harry. You know, the great thing about this is that however we slice that particular division of mind and brain, the promise that Christ has made is to raise this body immortal. Stop and think about that for a moment. The body that you have now changed to be in the likeness of Christ, but still the same body that God has given you for your entire, as Harry puts it, your entire terrestrial existence is also and ultimately intended for your existence in that new creation, the new heavens and the new earth. Our physical being is certainly corruptible. There's no doubt about that. You withdraw the spirit and the body begins immediately to break down into its constituent parts. But Christ has promised that he will raise this body, brain and all, and he will raise this body immortal to be like his own body, and that it will be ours, perfected in Christ in the resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come, there is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.